السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ حسن عليك.
عبد الرحمن،
نعم شيخ،
كيف الحال يا عبد الرحمن؟ السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ، الحمد لله بخير.
طيب تسمعون؟ تسمعون؟ نبدأكم؟
نعم يا شيخنا، أسمع.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Ad-Da'u by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abi ibn Ayyub rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah. The kunya of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah was Abu Abdullah, and his name was Muhammad. Someone stops you and asks you, Ibn al-Qayyim, what was his name? His name was Muhammad. His father's name was Abu Bakrin. His kunya was Abu Abdullah, but he was most popularly referred to as Ibn al-Qayyim or Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah. We know why he wrote this book, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa, mentioning problems people have, the problems of this dunya, the troubles of life, the discomfort that people face, that Allah has brought from the trials of this dunya. Whether that trial is badani, has to do with the limbs and the organs of the body, or that trial is qalbi, something having to do with the heart, or that ikhwa, the trial has to do with the individual's ruh. So we say it is fitnatun ruhiyya. We have repeatedly mentioned the various forms of these fitan and how they affect the people. The fitna, the troubles of the heart, the troubles. Soul. May Allah protect all of us. So this is Ad-Da'u, problems, troubles, trials, illnesses, sicknesses. And then he mentions Ad-Dawa'u, the cure for these illnesses. And that emerges from that hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As if to say, Ibn al-Qayyim is mentioning in this book all kinds of problems you can have, and all kinds of means of solving those problems. He brought us to that very epic hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, Allahu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ, for every discomfort, for every illness, there's a cure. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ, for every disease, every discomfort, every fitna has a cure that Allah has sent down for that illness. Now said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu. Those who know the cure, they know the cure. Wa jahilahu man jahilahu. And those who don't know, don't know. This is where modern medical science will start telling us that it does not have a cure. No, they should say they don't know the cure. The doctor should be humble enough to say, I don't know the cure. And I have a personal experience with a disease like that someone near me had. The person was approved for surgery by a consultant and a professor from independent verifications in a federal government university teaching hospital. So it's not like a corner private hospital. The consultant did the test, did everything, gave a confirmation. The professor came and insisted that the patient should start the test all over again. They came to the same conclusion that the patient required a surgery. They fixed the date of the surgery. They fixed everything. I just told the person, why not wait a little bit? Start trying Mao Zamzam. The person began to try it. So after about 2 or 3 months, the person was taken again for another medical investigation. And then they began to say, oh, the level at which this thing is, it can be cured using medicine rather than saying surgery. At the beginning, it was surgery. It's okay, we can give the person medicine. So the person went on medicines. And after the second, 3 months after, the person went on surgery again, the test again. Then they said, oh no, you should stop taking the medicine. The next test, they said, are you sure that we didn't even make a mistake in the first place to say this person had this disease? So I said to them, why do you think it was a mistake for you to think that he had that disease in the first place? So because they can't see any sign of the disease. And the disease, instead of them to believe that it was cured, they preferred to believe that they erred in their investigation. Why? Because they had thought that such kinds of diseases did not have a cure. So they should be humble enough to say that they don't know the cure, rather than that it has no cure. Because the Prophet ﷺ had said to us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يُنزِلْ دَاءً إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءً. Allah has not brought any kind of illness amongst mankind except that أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءً. Allah has set down for that illness, for that discomfort, for that inconvenience, شِفَاءً, a means of cure, that cure now. عَلِيمَهُ مَنْ عَلِيمَهُ, it may be known by those who know it. وَجَهِيلَهُ مَنْ جَهِيلَهُ, it may not be known by those who don't know it. Those who don't know it should not say it. It does not exist. Ikhwa is that its cure does not exist. What we should humbly say is that the cure is not known. And it, not knowing it is restricted to those who don't know it. Because those who know it would certainly know it, according to this hadith. So one means of seeking cure is by taking medicines. And I say to the people, every medicine that is not haram is lawful. As long as it is not haram, then it is lawful for you. It is prophetic too. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يُنزِلْ دَاءً إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءً. So if that tablet can cure that disease, then that tablet is the cure that Allah has sent down to cure the disease. So don't say some medicines are prophetic, others are not. No, it is only not prophetic if it is haram. If the medicine is lawful, if the surgery is lawful, if the surgery is possible and is known to be a cure, then it is prophetic. If the surgery is lawful, and the surgery is possible, and the surgery is known to be a means of cure, then it is prophetic. It does not have to be Habbatu Sauda, neither does it have to be Ma'u Zamzam, neither does it have to be Sidir, and all of these. All of these are also part of the cure for various kinds of diseases. One of the means of curing diseases that Ibn al-Qayyim also mentioned in this book, Ad-Da'u wa Dawa, is good deeds. Al-A'malu Salihah. Ikhwa, so righteous deeds also cure our diseases. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about sadaqah. He said, Da'u marbakum bis-sadaqah. Cure your sick ones. Someone has malaria. You do sadaqah as a means of cure for malaria. Ikhwa. How is that? Someone has sadaqah. If someone has malaria, you give sadaqah, begging Allah, cure the person. And this is well known, ikhwa, amongst the people of Islam. I have an entire book regarding this hadith. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Da'u mardakum. The author, this book is in Arabic. The author at the end of it gave several incidences when people have been cured because of sadaqah. And Arabs know this very well. If they treat an ailment, they treat an ailment, they treat an ailment, they don't find a means of cure for it. You know what they do? They just go and look for a means of providing water or food or things like this, and then they'll be begging Allah, use this as a means of cure. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he encouraged us to cure and find cure for our sick by means of sadaqah. So good deeds, ikhwa, good deeds cure diseases by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one of the means of finding cure. Don't forget, ikhwa, one of the means of finding cure for ailment is good deeds. And as he would do, Ibn al-Qayyim began to explore why is it now that people do not keep to good and righteous deeds. What are the things that prevent the people from righteous deeds? And he recognized that one of the reasons to keep upon righteous deeds is that false impression of Allah's mercy. The man is committing zina and saying that Allah is merciful. The man is eating riba, it's saying Allah is merciful. The man is upon 419, is a kidnapper. Think of it, and saying that Allah is merciful. He steals government money, says Allah is merciful. Although what they are doing is bad, but many of the politicians are like this. This kind of hope in Allah's mercy is a hope of ignorance. One of the scholars referred to it as al-khizlam wal-humq, khizlan, self-disgrace, hamaka, stupidity. How? You are upon the deeps of sin and you are anticipating Allah's rahmah. Is Allah not a just God, al-adl? So why should you be upon sin in Allah's rahmah? What will people who are upon the deeds of righteousness, what should they expect? If you are upon the deeds of wickedness, what, and you are expecting rahmah, right? Those who are upon the righteous deeds, what should they expect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in Surah Al-Baqarah that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا والذين هاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله أولئك يرجون رحمة الله والله غفور رحيم. إن الذين آمنوا والذين هاجروا, those who truly have iman, ikhwa, their iman in Allah, their iman in the Messenger, their iman in the Quran, their iman in the Day of Qiyamah, and all of these are found. وهاجروا, and then they abandon sin and sinful environment. Ajaru, they abandon sin and sinful environment. Wajahadu fi sabilillah, and then they fight and struggle in the path of Allah to completely annihilate sin and sinfulness. Allah says, Subhanahu wa Taala, Ulaika yarjuna rahmatullah. Aha. These are the people who should truly be hoping and anticipating Allah's rahmah. So those who should hope and anticipate in Allah's rahmah, it's clearly defined by Allah. Who are those? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The mistakes they make upon iman, the mistakes they make while making hijrah, the mistakes they make while making jihad fi sabilillah, Allah is al-ghafoor. He will forgive them those mistakes, and he is anticipates for being upon iman, he will show it upon them. But the one who sensible amongst us. يَضَعُ الرَّجَاءَ مَوَاضِعَهُ. The one who is sensible, intelligent, and knowledgeable. He places his hope and positive anticipation in the proper places. Where is that? You are doing good deeds. We're in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Yes, this is the time of hope now. You are fasting. Yes, be hopeful of rewards. You made Qiyamul Layl. Yes, be hopeful of rewards. You are making Tawaf in Makkah. Yes, be hopeful of rewards. You are making Hajj and Umrah. Yes, hope in rewards. So those who hope in rewards, hope in goodness, hope in Rahmah of Allah. Yes, they are the people who do the deeds of Rahmah. There are those who do the deeds of righteousness. He said, Rahimah Allah, Al-Jahilu Al-Mugtarru Asfa Al-Jahilu Al-Mur. The very ignorant person, Al-Mugtar, is deceived by himself. Yadha'uhu بِغَيْرِ مَوَاضِئِهِ. He places his hope in other than its place. He is upon the deeds of evil, or is expecting to be paid back with goodness. Ikhwa, where is this done? You are preparing for UME, for example. You are studying government and economics and literature. But you want to get results in physics, chemistry, biology. You want the results of physics, chemistry, biology. Your intention is to study medicine. Unfortunately, you got busy with government and economics and literature. When you got into the exam hall, you requested for the papers of government and literature and economics. But you want to study medicine. When the results came, you are expecting the results of physics, chemistry, and biology. Ibn al-Qayyim called this kind of a lifestyle. He called it al-jahl. It is wal-jahilul mugtarru. As for al-jahil, the ignorant person, al-mugtarru, the one who is engrossed, lost in self-deceit, yadha'uhu fi ghayri mawadhihi. He then begins to say he's hopeful that unilaterally we give him medicine. He got 351 in jump, writing, government, economics, and literature. He's hopeful of medicine in University of Ilari. This is jahil. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْجُهَالِ اِعْتَمَدُوا عَلَىٰ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَعَفْوِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ وَضَيَّعُوا أَمْرَهُ. Many of these ignorant people, اِعْتَمَدُوا عَلَىٰ. They say, Allah is merciful. Yes, Allah is merciful. وَعَفْوِهِ. Allah overlooks. Yes. وَكَرَمِهِ. Allah is very benevolent. Yes. وَضَيَّعُوا أَمْرَهُ. That made them to abandon the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَارْتَكَبُوا نَهَيَهُ. And they began to act upon the things that Allah has prohibited the people from. وَنَسُوا أَنَّهُ شَدِيدَ الْعِقَابِ. It's forgotten that Allah is the Shadid al-Iqab. Allah punishes as a recompense for the deeds of evil. And that is simple justice. That those who are upon evil, they should be given the like of these for their deeds. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانُ مِثْلُهَا. It's just like the sextant and anticipating the reward for goodness, ikhwa. Wallahi, it is stupidity. Sorry to say. That's why I have visually repeated this. Allah. And he said, رَجَاءُكَ لِرَحْمَةِ مَنْ لَا تُطِيعُهُ. رَجَاءُكَ لِرَحْمَةِ مَنْ لَا تُطِيعُهُ. مِنَ الْوَالْحُرُ. Your expectation and anticipation of Rahmah from someone that you don't obey. You don't obey Allah. Why are you expecting Rahmah from him? You are disobedient. If this first 10 days will hit down, some of the people wasted playing table tennis. watching films, playing football, watching football matches, playing draft, Ludo, hangout. If you spend all your time for this, or you are expecting the recompense and rewards like those who are in the masajid reading, making tilawa of Quran, are they the same? Are they the same? So, ikhwa, Ma'ruf al-Karfi said, Raja'uka li rahmati man la tuti'uhu min al-khizlan. This is from self-disgrace, wal-humq, and stupidity. So to affirm that when people commit sins, Allah punishes too. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned 38 ahadith, and we'd be mentioning these ahadith one after the other until we came to hadith number 26. In the 26th hadith out of the 38 that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, we'd read a lot of things on it. The last set of ahadith were upon alcohol consumption and the punishment that Allah will met to those who drink alcohol. So he said, Rahimahullah, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ أَيْضًا مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي مُوسَى. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, who said, قَالَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ مُدْمِنًا لِلْقَمْرِ سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ نَهْرِ الْغُوطَةِ. مَنْ مَاتَ مُدْمِنًا لِلْقَمْرِ سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ نَهْرِ الْغُوطَةِ. Whoever dies, مُدْمِنًا لِلْقَمْرِ, يعني مُدَاوِمًا عَلَى شُرْبِهِ, is drinking alcohol. Everybody is fasting, he's drinking alcohol. He calls alcohol names to make him think that it is lawful for him to drink. He's upon alcohol. He drinks day and night. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, saqahu Allahu min nahri al-ghuta. Don't worry, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will provide you drink from Nahru al-Ghuta, a sea that its name is al-Ghuta. Qila wa ma Nahru al-Ghuta. It was said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ma Nahru al-Ghuta. What is Nahru al-Ghuta? The sea of al-Ghuta. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, as is in this hadith, Nahrun yajri min furudil mumisat. It is Nahrun, a sea, يجري من فروج المومسات, that will flow from the private areas of المومسات. You know مومسات, women who commit zina. When they are punished on the day of Qiyamah, fluids will emerge from their private areas. That fluid will make a sea. That will be the drink those who drink alcohol while in this dunya. You, the أهل النار ريح فروجهن. Even the smell from the private areas of these women who are indecent. While on the surface of the earth and obscene. So if the smell will cause harm, how about the fluid itself? The smell of the fluid will cause harm. From Usara to Ahl, the feuds that will emerge from the people of Jahannam. When they are burnt in Jahannam, feuds will come out of their bodies, out of pain, out of torture, out of severe difficulty. These feuds will make a sea from which those who are drinking alcohol will take on the day of Qiyamah. So if someone drinks alcohol and he begins to say Allah is merciful, has he forgotten what Allah has promised to those who drink alcohol? That is their punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Jaza'u wifaqa. Innahum kanu لا يرجون حسابا. That will be a reward, a recompense that is just according to what they were doing. They were drinking what Allah has prohibited. They will drink from another. So it is drink and drink. They drunk, got drunk in the dunya. They will be provided drink also in Jahannam. It is jaza and wifaqa. Drink, no problem. You will drink too. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Because that time when they were drinking on the surface of the earth, they did not fear that Allah would take them to accountability. So if you're a drinker, go and stop drinking. If you know anybody who drinks, tell the person to stop. Because the consequence of drinking is severe for those who drink on the day of Qiyamah. This shows that there is accountability. This shows that sinfulness invites no other than punishment. What does it show? Sinfulness invites punishment. So don't deceive yourself. So say you are expecting Allah's rahmah and you are sitting down on the table of alcohol. You will be punished for that alcohol that you are drinking. May Allah protect all of us. The 27th hadith that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah, he said, وَفِيهِ عَنْهُ أَيْضًا وَفِيهِ. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, عَنْهُ يعني عَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ قال, who said that قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said that تُورَضُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَاثَ عَرُضَاتٍ. تُعْرَضُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَاثَ عَرْضَاتِ. You can read it as عَرَضَاتِ بِفَتْحِ الرَّاءِ أَوْ بِإِسْكَانِ. You can read that ra as عَرَضَاتِ أو what? عَرْضَاتِ. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم تُعْرَضُ النَّاسِ. Another riwayah say يُعْرَضُ النَّاسِ. They are both right. يعرض الناس يوم القيامة ثلاثة عروض will be presented. They will be paraded in three forms on the day of Qiyamah. Ikhwa, parade, presentation before Allah, will be in three kinds on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect all of us. أَرْضَتَانِ فَجِدَالٌ وَمَعَذِيرٌ. As for the first two, it will be jidal. As for the first two, parade that people will be paraded. Ikhwa, the way criminals are paraded. Abi, don't we see criminals being paraded and presented? Do you not see that when they are paraded and presented, each person begins to say what he was doing, without telling a lie? Oh yes, they can find excuses. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam, فَأَمَّا أَرْضَتَانِ فَجِدَالٌ وَمَعَذِيرٌ. As for the first two presentations and parade of criminals, فَجِدَال, it is about arguments. So, يُدَافِعُونَ عَلَىٰهُمْ. They will be trying to present excuses for themselves, trying to defend themselves. أَنَّ الدَّعْوَةَ لَمْ تَصِلْ إِلَيْهِمْ. They'll say, oh, we did not hear any message, oh, that you should not drink, that you not commit zina, that you not drink alcohol, oh, that we should observe salah. We didn't hear. They'll be trying to present defense. فَجِدَال, argument. وَمَعَذِيرْ, the second one will be presentation of ma'azir, excuses. يَعْتَرِفُونَ وَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. They will acknowledge, yes, we did it. But the reason why I did it was my sister was this. Oh, the reason why I did it was my wife was this. Oh, the reason why I did it was, oh, my brother. Oh, my father did not allow me. Oh, my excuses. As for the third parading or presentation of people on the day of Qiyamah, فعند ذلك تطير الصحف في الأيدي، عند ذلك تطير الصحف في الأيدي. It is during the third parade that the records and the documents of our deeds will fly to our hands. The records of deeds will fly to the hands. When? The third parading. The first parading is what? Jidal. A parade where the people will come to defend themselves. The second one is what? Ma'azir. People will acknowledge that they were sinful, but they will be finding excuses for those sins. وَأَمَّا السَّالِفَةُ فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ تَطِيرُ الصُّفُوفُ فِي الْأَيْدِي. During the third parade, that is when the records of the deeds of everybody will come to their hands. The Prophet said in this hadith, it was also from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, mawkufan anhu, وَمِثْلُهُ لَا يُقَالُ بِالرَّأِيِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَآخِذٌ بِيَمِينِهِ وَآخِذٌ بِشِمَالِهِ إِخْوَةٌ. During this third presentation of the people on the day of Qiyamah, when the documents come to their hands, فَآخِذٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. Some of those people, some of us, may Allah count us from this first group. فَآخِذٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. There are those who will receive their documents with their right hands. I'm sure we remember what Allah said about those people. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. So those who receive the document of their deeds with their right hand, سَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. This presentation, I am now interpreting Hisaban Yasira from Hadith. The presentation will be easy for them. Because if you literally translate Hisaban Yasira, the Prophet had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, man husiba usiba, anybody who is stopped to give an account, ahalaka, in another riwayah, then he will be destroyed. So yuhasabu hisaban yasira means the presentation will be easy for him. May Allah count us amongst the group. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He will turn to his family and relatives glad and happy, celebrating. Allah count us amongst the group. We beg you by your power and your might and your mercy, count us amongst those who will receive their records with their right hands. He said, وَآخِذٌ بِشِمَالِهِ. There are also those who will receive their deeds, their records with their left hand. And those are those regarding whom Allah said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهَرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Allah told us those who receive their documents, he said, from their backs. In Surah Al-Haqqa, he said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ. Aha. So how do we reconcile it? He said, بِشِمَالِهِ in Surah Al-Haqqa. Elsewhere in the Quran, he says, أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. So how will he receive his records with his left hand from his back? The ulama explained. They say the left hand will be placed into the tummy, and it will emerge from behind. Why? Because of the shame of receiving it face to face. They will not be able to face to collect the document. They will turn their backs. So the left hand will go into the tummy to receive it from behind. Some of us among the scholars say it is around their necks. The left hand will go behind them to their backs. Allah, we beg you out of your mercy, don't count us amongst these people. Count us from those who receive their records with their right hands. This goes to show that sins have consequences and repercussions, and people will be rewarded according to their deeds. So don't be deceived thinking that, oh, you are depending on Allah's mercy. Some people, when they are told, stop it, they say, Allah, Ashanua. This is the group. The only mercy of Allah is for you to make tawbah and turn away from these evil paths. May Allah forgive all of us. The reason Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim mentions this hadith here is that we should know that actions have repercussions. If you are upon evil, sinful deeds, abandon them and turn in repentance. Fortunately, these first 10 days have just started. Today is day 2. We still have 9 days. Today and 8 other days for tawbah. I've always emphasized that these days should be employed for tawbah most. Just look back and look at things you need to beg Allah to forgive you and pardon you. Things you need to drop in your life. What was I doing that I'm not doing, I should not be doing again as a man? Some men, it is irresponsibility with family. They don't care what their wives and children eat, either because they bring haram or because they don't even look for it at all. Both of them come from nonchalance. Ikhwah, stop it. We have 10 days to readjust our lifestyles. Some of us don't allow our families to get exposed to this deen. That is the problem. You don't want your wife. Your wife cannot pray, observe salah correctly. Are you? What's wrong with you? Your children cannot pray correctly. Don't you think that's a problem, oh brother? On the other hand, too, sometimes it is the women. Some women are audaciously disobedient to their husband. Audacious. As if I don't do and be done. Let anything happen. Ah. Oh, woman. When it happens, we will be pitying you that time. So pity yourself now by returning to Allah in tawbah in these days of goodness and righteous deeds. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim continued, he said, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ أَيْضًا مِنْ حَدِيثِ بِنِ مَسْعُودٍ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad from the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ فَإِنَّهُنْ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجْلِ حَتَّى يُهْلِكْنَهُ إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Be careful, I warn you. إِيَّاكُمْ, keep away, avoid muhaqqarati dhunub, those dhunub, those things that are underestimated. It does not matter. Be careful. The ulama say muhaqqarati dhunub saghairuha, saghairu dhunub, those things that you consider as saghira. Be careful about them. From Sagair of Zunud, it to look, be looking, casting unlawful glances. Yes, checking women, it is coming from Muhaqqarat. The ulama said, because people don't think that it's a serious matter. Cigarette smoking will come under this. You don't know, you think that it's a small matter. Things that are serious, but people consider it small. They think that they Muhaqqarat, they disdain it. They look down upon it. Iyakum, be careful about them. Fa inna hunna yajtami'na ala rajuli hatta yuhliknahu. Because these things that you are underrating, this ungozi is a uchenna that you are shaking in your places of work. Bumi that you are embracing. All those messages on WhatsApp that are unlawful that you are exchanging with women. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ, They are all gathering up against you. Hatta yulitnahu, until they will destroy you. Those are the things that will destroy you. Those unlawful viewings that you view on your phones. Those disobedience. Those insults that you insult your husband sometimes. Your husband says, do this, say, do it by yourself now. And you go back to say, oh, I was sorry. Many women consider things like this as small. That is the like of what Allah said, that when he said, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You consider these matters small and unimportant. Anything people consider as unimportant, when it is serious, it falls under what? Muhaqqarat. Things people look down upon. The Prophet said, يَجِتَمِعِنَا عَلَى الرَّجُلِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Those things you are looking down upon, we gather up against you. A brother told me 3 days ago, with a mind of sorrow, that he was going to work that morning. He was telling me that he had to wash his own clothes by himself and iron it in the morning. Why? His wife was angry with him. So she abandoned everything in the house. So you say, is this proper for a Muslim woman? Meanwhile, I'm sure she will not abandon eating food. She will not abandon staying under his roof. She will not abandon wearing his clothes. But she abandoned her own duties towards him. How will you be enjoying favors from a man, and then you abandon your own duties? Is that the meaning of marriage? While acting of standard responsibility. So many, I'm mentioning it because many women consider things like that as small. Many women consider things like that as no problem. It does not matter. I don't do and be that. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجِتَمِعِنَ عَلَيْكِ. Those things will gather up against you. حَتَّى يُهْلِكِنَهُ, until you destroy the person. وَضَرَبَ لَهُنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلًا كَمَثَلِكُمْ. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, ضَرَبَ لَهُنَّ, he gave a similitude for those things. يُوَي مُحَقَّرَاتِ disbelievers. He gave an illustration صلى الله عليه وسلم. كَمَثَلِكُمْ نَزَلُوا أَرْضَ فَلَمْ. The example that similitude is the similitude of a group of people, Nazalu Ardafala. They came and had to stay maybe during a journey in one vast open land. فَحَضَرَ صَنِعُ الْكُمْ. فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلُ يَنْطَلِقُ. حَضَرَ صَنِعُ الْكُمْ. It came a time when they had to feast. They are on a journey. So they stay somewhere. They had to feast, eat food. فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلُ يَنْطَلِقُ. So a man amongst them will go, فَيَجِئُ بِالْعُودِ. You come back with one small piece of wood. وَالرَّجُلُ يَجِئُ بِالْعُودِ. Another one will go, come back. They started gathering small stacks, logs of wood. حَتَّى جَمَعُوا سَوَادًا. Until they gathered a lot of wood while on that open land. وَأَجَّجُوا نَارًا. Then they set up the fire. وَأَنْضَجُوا Ma kabafu fiha. The fire was so big that whatever they threw in that fire, it burns and gets prepared. But you could see it was from little specks of air. They came together and they could make a fire from it. The riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Humaydi, rahimahullah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكَذَلِكَ الْجُنُو. That is how things are too. The saints will gather, يَجْتَمِئِنَا عَلَى الرَّجُلِ. They will gather up. You are doing it, don't worry, to be gathering up. حَتَّى يُهْلِكَنَا, until يُهْلِكْنَهُ. Those saints will destroy the individual. So, ikhwa, those saints that you underrate, taking ladies, those saints that you exchange, flirtatious, is it flirtatious or flirtatious?
messages of indecency and obscenity with women or with men, don't worry, they will gather up, they will destroy you. But this all goes to show that if they will destroy you, the Prophet said so, salatu wasalam. Why are you thinking that when you are doing that job, it is the mercy of Allah that you come out with? You are doing, you are shaking hands with girls, you are embracing girls, you don't care, you steal office money, you steal money given to you for a job. You were ordered to buy 10 bags of cement, you bought 8 bags of cement. You pocketed the remaining money for the 2 bags of cement. You think that this is smaller, no problem. These evils will gather up against you, hatta you liknahu, until they will destroy you. The way those people who were traveling were gathering small specks of wood, until the huge gathering of wood came. And then they set fire on it. Such that whatever becomes thrown in that fire became cooked up by the fire. So that is how the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَكَذَلِكَ الظُّنُوبُ. That is how sins are too, ikhwa. There is the next hadith that we read, but it appears a bit lengthy. And it is talking about the day of Qiyamah. I would like to stop here. Bismillah, we'll continue with hadith number 30 on those ahadith that Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim has gathered here as deterrent to us. For us all to understand that, don't think that because Allah is merciful, oh, then it means He does not punish sinfulness. No, sinfulness invites punishment. Sinfulness invites punishment. Righteousness invites rahmah and good recompense. So, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. If you do good in the weight of the smallest thing, you will see it. You will get your rewards for it. So just get ready. I always tell people, be ready for the consequences of whatever decision you want to make. If it is good, be not here. What Allah said to us in the Quran. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهَ فالشراب وساءت مرتفقا. Ikhwa, go back to Surah Al-Kahf. Go and read the meaning of this verse. Allah said, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ. Say to them, الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. This is Quran. Is the truth from Allah. This Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. It was Allah who sent him. Fine. So, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. If you like, obey. If you like, believe. If you like, disbelieve. But wait, if you disbelieve. Inna a'tadina lizzalimina naron. We have prepared a huge fire. Naron. It came with nakira. Meaning that the fire is huge. Allah alone knows its size. Ahata bihim. This fire will consume all of you who choose to disbelieve. He went to say, wa in yastaghithu. If you begin to ask from inside the fire, hey, give us water. Allah said, you go to be mine. They will be provided water to drink with a kind of water. Kal muhli. It will be like a burning water. Yes, will you. The water, they have not drunk it too. The flames, emerging from the hotness of the water, will be pressing, burning their face. Allah said, this is so bad a drink. So if you think that you have a choice, you can do what you want, no problem. Just wait for the consequences. But the same way he said that if you do good, you will see it too. So don't think that you are doing evil reward for evil good. You won't even do that as a human being. That the reward for evil is good.
That's where this statement of Al-Imam Ma'ruf Al-Kirkhi Abu Mahfuz Al-Baghdadi comes repeatedly useful. That Raja'uka li rahmati man la tuti'uhu min al-khizlani wal-humq. Raja'uka li rahmati man la tuti'uhu. You are expecting mercy, goodness, recompense, beautiful treatment from someone you don't obey. It is stupidity. You don't obey him, but you have goodness from him.
May Allah protect us. For this is another period that we are all in. To seek goodness, to seek forgiveness. In my view, Ikhwa, from the biggest of the things each of us should be seeking within this period is at-tawbah. Because once Allah forgives you your sins, and you don't go back to sinful, even after the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, your lifestyle will be straight. So it's not just about Allah, give me money. Unfortunately, that is the bulk of what people will be asking for. It's not just about Allah, give me a better job. It's not just about Allah, give me a good wife. But ask of things of righteousness. Look back to where you had erred. Try to correct it. Try to rectify yourself. Try to be a better person so that the reward for your being a better person continues with you forever. Allah will beg you for ease. Allah will beg you for goodness. Allah will beg you for sound health. Make this dunya a place of ease for us. Make us from the people of Iman till we meet you. Never take and keep Iman away from us. Take us from the people that you make Iman well established, well steadfast inside their mind and in their deeds and in everything that we do. Protect us from Shaitan, Ya Rabbal Alamin. Protect us also from our own Hawa, because many times it is not Shaitan, it is just your own Hawa, your own personal frivolous desire that is deceiving you. Unfortunately, many times the person to blame is Shaitan. Yes, he's there playing his own role too. But your Hawa too is there. Everybody should look inwards and try to emerge from this first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah upon goodness. Look at the tasbihat we all have been making. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. We all should think beyond these expressions literally. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, meaning the love of Allah over me should reign supreme over everyone. If Allahu Akbar and He is actually Akbar, Subhanahu, is Al Kabir, absolutely Kabir, might, He is Al Azim, then should you abandon His laws for your own desires? So when you are thinking Allahu Akbar, think about it too. Allahu Akbar is bigger than me. Allahu Akbar, it shouldn't command me and I'm doing something else. Allahu Akbar, it shouldn't prohibit me something and I'm... doing that thing. If you truly believe that He is Akbar, and if you think you are bigger than some people, you can oppress them. You forgot that Allah is Akbar, bigger than you. La ilaha illallah. Put this in everything that you do. There is no one that deserves devotion and worship except Allah. Even if the entirety of the world fails to achieve all of this correctly, then Allah deserves that you thank Him. Thank for guiding you. Thank you for making you a Muslim. Thank you for making you be alive today. Yesterday, I remembered one of our brothers, and I repeat it again, why is Shani Bale? We are in Mecca. The way we used to discuss, his son calls me and say, "Ha, subhanallah." The way we are talking now, that's the way we used to talk with your father. Up to last Hajj, not knowing that that one was his own last. May Allah forgive this brother. May Allah forgive why Shani Bale. Make the grave a place of ease for him. Let me mention one point of benefit here. Ikhwa, make friends with good people, righteous people, who will be praying for you when you die.
if your friends are drunkards, if your friends are people of riba, it is that place where they are drinking and making riba. If your friends are people of zina, if your friends are people going to cinema, it is when they are in cinema they will remember you. The consequence too will come to you in your grave. That's why Allah told us, Ya alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. These dua too will meet you. Keep friends with who will remember you when they do the good deeds that you are all doing together. Why, Chonibare, we don't know ourselves except in Makkah. Yeah. The first time we meet was in Makkah. And the last time too in Makkah. All our decisions. The discussion we had was that one of the groups we used to come with before, the enjoyment is now too much. They forget admonitions. He says, so how do we rectify the situation? This was what we were discussing last Hajj. All his mindset is about din. If he did not buy a land and say, oh, we will build a masjid, we will not all be saying, oh, let's now go and build a masjid now. So, Ikhwa, do good. Be with good people. They will encourage you to do good when you are alive. When you die, they will pray for you. And your good deeds will continue to be a means of goodness for them, encouragement. They will talk about you. You gain rewards. So, on the other hand, I also thank all of us that we are donating to this masjid and building the masjid. Ikhwa, let us make haste. A brother surprised me after our class on Sunday. He said he was going to take over every equipment and the construction in that area of the janaza washroom. We have the janaza washroom in that masjid. If you look at that picture on the right hand side, you will see an ambulance car parked. That is a janaza vehicle. In many masjids today, we don't have a place that is dedicated to prepare dead Muslims. And that is the end of all of us. Yes, that's where we are going to end up. Some people will wash us when we die. So if you don't prepare to wash those who die now, should you expect that some people should prepare to wash you? So we should prepare. So the brother volunteered to take over that place and all the equipment needed inside the place, not just that Ikhwa, and the vehicle itself that will be taking the corpse to the burial ground. He now said, aside that masjid, if you find a place for the burial ground too, please. So you see, this is a huge, huge, huge investment. It's an investment in the Akhirah. It's not investment inside a refinery. I beg Allah, this young brother, may provide ease for him too. May Allah provide ease for him. May Allah grant him istiqamah upon his deen. May Allah grant him istiqamah upon his deen. May Allah make his place of goodness. May Allah make his home a place of goodness. May Allah grant him righteous children. All of what we have asked him, we ask for. Father Israel. هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الله عبد الرحمن. Can we make our questions come at another class?
نعم يا شيخ.
I can see that the time is already far spent. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
آمين وإياكم.